You're listening to the Pinto and White Shadow Show on KFGO.com and 740thefan.com.
Well, we're coming to your city.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the 011 Pinto and White Shadow podcast on KFGO.com, 740thefan.com. I'm Daniel Pinto Gunnarsson and my co-host Brad the White Shadow Jones. You can follow me on Twitter at PintoKFGO. You can follow Brad Jones.
I'm at the Bison Guy.
Get us on Facebook. You can message us, comment on the KFGO.com page where the podcast show is found out. And, of course, email us at pinto.whiteshadow@gmail.com. And that's it for the opening. We're going to get right to it because we've got a great interview lined up. As many of you know or have heard, and if you haven't heard in the FM area, you've probably been living under a rock, ESPN College Game Day is coming to Fargo this Saturday. A very big deal for the school, very big deal for the athletics department, very big deal for NDSU in general. So Brad and I decided we have to go out and get somebody to talk about this, and we found one of the best in the business, Senior Associate Athletic Director Troy Gergen from NDSU. Troy, welcome to the podcast. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Well, first off, we have to say congratulations to you guys for getting getting ESPN to come to NDSU. Probably a lot of congratulations has to do with the football team for getting noticed. But I think the first question that both Brad and I have for you is, when did you first hear about this happening, and who'd you hear it from?
Oh, it was morning of last week. I got an email, kind of my morning routine. Right before I go into the office, I got that smartphone addiction, so I check my emails, and I had an email in there from IMG, which is a marketing group that does a lot of work with NCAA and schools across the country, and opened it up, and it said NDSU is one of four schools selected to be a site for College Game Day, and I was like, okay, and read on, and it talked about some licensing programs that they wanted some more information on, and so I obviously was excited and followed up and said, yep, we're in, just let us know what we need to do. So that was the first contact. And then as the week went on, there was, you know, various contacts from different individuals at ESPN to different folks in our athletic department. And as the week went on, it just kind of got more interesting and obviously culminated in the official announcement.
When you first heard about this on Saturday, what was your first thought? And then who did you first contact after that?
Announcement. I was actually out of town, I had College Game Day on and stepped outside for a second, and expecting that they wouldn't make an announcement until later in the day, and all of a sudden, my phone just started going off, and it was coworkers and Gene Taylor and people texting that it's official, and so actually my first call was back into Fargo, talked to our director of marketing Justin Swanson to let him know, because we kind of had some contingency plans in place once the official announcement was made. I wanted to get on the horn and speed those up because we weren't expecting an announcement until late Saturday, and it happened, early Saturday. So it was an exciting time, and a lot of people, obviously jumped all over it from a social media standpoint and friends and family texting. So it's kind of a cool feeling.
So how many people knew about this before Saturday?
Oh, I would say maybe at the most 10. We obviously had to get some folks in the loop late on Friday. We had actually a production meeting with ESPN today, so we had to get some more folks in the loop on Friday. But throughout the week, we were kind of told to keep it on the QT, so we wanted to respect that and didn't want to ruin any of our chances. It was obviously a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity that we didn't want to screw up.
So what's your role in kind of the whole production, bringing the circus to town?
Well, I don't want to sound like taking, really any credit at all. It was, obviously, I think we were on the radar, so to speak. And when they made that call, our role in athletics for the people that were working with ESPN was just to do whatever we could to make the decision an easy one. We obviously got them the information in a timely manner, responded to questions, showed a lot of enthusiasm, obviously, and a willingness to make things work. We did have a few dignitaries send a few notes out to Connecticut, but beyond that, it was just a matter of being really convenient for those that were asking questions and responsive. So a lot of, like I say, handful of us were just working diligently throughout the week to make sure we were putting ourselves in the right position.
Sure. So now that they're coming, what is kind of your responsibility?
Now it's a lot of the same thing we do on our regular game day is getting people there. They have that was the one thing I was most surprised at today in the production meeting. And not to be too simple about it, but I thought, oh, now they're coming, they'll show up, set up their set, and we'll have our game. But there's actually a lot of fun things that they want to do leading up to Saturday. They'll actually start bringing in their stage and everything on Wednesday. So we're working with their production assistant that handles all the marketing and trying to put some plans in place and get the campus community involved and the greater community involved. And so tomorrow we'll go into work, and we have a quick meeting with the gentleman that just got to town today and just start putting some plans into place. He's new to Fargo, new to, you know, Bison Nation, so he's got a lot of questions for us in terms of, you know, how he can reach out to our fans and get our fans excited. But we all know that there's a level of excitement there. We just need to get the information out.
Talking with Senior Associate Athletic Director Troy Gergen for North Dakota State University. Troy, we know when they're coming. You said they should be here about Wednesday, but where will they set up? Have they decided on a site yet?
They have not. We did a pretty extensive tour of campus and the Fargo Dome today and showed them some specific areas. They have some technical requirements in terms of internet lines, phone lines, and obviously you've all seen game day and kind of seen some of the locations they set up in. So we kind of showed them those areas on our campus, and they took a lot of notes, and they said, well, we kind of have an idea of what we want to do, but we'll let you know for sure sometime tomorrow, because they obviously have some higher-ups that they have to clear it through. But we probably looked at six different locations today, ranging from near the Dome to on campus, and all of them will be, you know, really great places. It's just to have them on our campus is like I said, once in a lifetime, and we're just happy to have the trucks rolling in on Wednesday.
What do you think the biggest obstacle you guys are going to face trying to get this thing set up?
Probably just manpower. I mean, game day is a pretty elaborate production. Whether it's game day staff or Fargo Dome, the security and tailgating and the concessions, and to throw in an event like College Game Day, you're kind of looking at the same group of people that put on another high-level production, probably even higher when you start throwing in some of the security required. So it's just, I think staffing is going to be a big challenge, one that we can't accommodate, but I think it'll take an all-hands-on-deck type of mentality to pull this off. But ESPN's got a crew that's been doing it for a long time, and they know what to expect, and it's just a matter of us putting our people in the right spot and finding, you know, enough people to kind of cover everything.
So of the people that sports fans, college football fans would know that are coming here, obviously Corso, Herbstreet, Fowler, Desmond Howard all making the trip. Who else is coming? Any other recognizable names?
As of right now, they haven't. We're kind of excited. We're asking all kinds of questions. Who's the celebrity picker? Is Scott Van Pelt coming? And they're the people we were dealing with. I don't want to say they weren't in the know, but I think, you know, you got an organization as large as ESPN. They've got, you know, everybody has a different day-to-day job. So they didn't really have a lot more information for us, but they said they'd work with us throughout the week to try and answer some of those questions, because they obviously understand the high interest in, you know, the celebrities who are coming in. But obviously the regular cast characters will be here, but right now we don't know, you know, who else may be coming, whether it's radio personalities or other celebrities.
Do you know of any other shows that they'll be doing besides the game day pregame show?
Yeah, right now it's as far as I know, it's just the game day pregame show. They haven't informed us of any other, they'll obviously have their game day radio, but we don't know of any other shows that'll be here per se. The one we're most, you know, just because we're everybody in the athletic department, because of the love Scott Van Pelt has given NDSU athletics, everybody was kind of excited to know whether or not SVP would be here, but they didn't confirm that he would be here, but they just, you know, kind of said they knew he was a fan of the Bison, and and kind of left it at that. So who knows what will happen? I think a lot of it is still, in flux. They're obviously coming off of a huge game down at A&M, so they're still in the planning mode as well.
Well, Troy, again, want to thank you for joining us. I know it was short notice, me sending out the email today, but I appreciate the time you gave us. Very exciting for NDSU, and again, congratulations for you guys, and it's going to be a lot of fun in the week leading up to Saturday, and it's going to be a pretty busy week for you, I can imagine.
Yeah, definitely. I want to encourage fans. We'll obviously keep start getting more information out starting tomorrow. So keep an eye on GoBison.com as well as tune into the flagship KFGO, and keep your eyes and ears out. There'll be a lot more information coming out in the next 3 to 5 days, and there's a lot of things that our fans will want to be involved with, and we want to see how many people participate. It's going to be a great week.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Troy, thank you. I really appreciate the time.
You bet. Thanks,
thank
Troy.
Thank you, guys.
That was Troy Gergen, the Associate Athletic Director for North Dakota State University. Brad, ESPN College Game Day is coming to Fargo. Now we can release the excitement, because I think you and I are both giddy about this happening. You're wearing an ESPN shirt into the studio tonight, which is blowing my mind and frankly a little ridiculous if you ask me.
So jersey's a little too ridiculous for you?
Yes.
It is. Well, my bad. Let me just. Oh my gosh. Let me go ahead and take the jersey off.
You have an ESPN shirt on under the ESPN jersey.
I do.
Okay, let me ask you this question. Aren't you a huge, and this is going completely off base, but aren't you a huge Dan Patrick Show guy?
Yeah.
They hate ESPN.
Now, that's not true.
Really?
That's not true.
Is it not true?
Now, Dan, sources close to me tell me that Dan, he's got some disagreements. This is pretty well. He's got some disagreements with people in management that were there when he was there. But, I mean, he was there for 20 years. And I love Scott Van Pelt. You know, Troy mentioned him a couple of times. And I wanted to mention, too, here when Troy said there will be a lot of things coming out tomorrow. Tomorrow means today when you're listening to this. We're doing this Sunday night. So when he says tomorrow, that means Monday. So there's, like I said, be more information coming out. But I've always been a big I love ESPN. I mean, they're the worldwide leader. They're where people get their sports. Sports Center is an institution. And College Game Day, I mean, when you think about it, what are the top five shows on ESPN?
I think top five sports shows
out
there.
If you're talking outside of live games, I mean, you're talking Sports Center.
Yep.
You're talking probably Pardon the Interruption.
For ESPN, if you want to go strictly that way, yeah. I mean, here's what I'll say about it. Because ESPN College Game Day is such a staple, it's been on the air since 1987. The way cable TV has gone, there's been so many different directions. You know, and Baseball Tonight doesn't carry the same kind of validity with it that, you know, MLB Network, because they run baseball information the whole time. They've got their baseball shows. Quick Pitch is a huge thing because it's just baseball. If you're a baseball specific fan, you're usually going MLB Network. And same with the NFL Network.
Yeah, if you have it, because MLB Tonight is basically the Red Zone channel of baseball, and it's awesome. It makes baseball so much fun to watch.
And so ESPN has kind of lost, in my mind, a little bit of steam when it comes to SportsCenter and with those other big time shows.
Oh, I don't think they've lost anything with SportsCenter.
I'll say this. That when it comes to the negativity that's been around ESPN, it's fallen short, the negativity, when you talk about ESPN College Game Day.
That's true. That's a good point.
What they do with ESPN College Game Day is huge, and we're kind of throwing flowers at their feet, and I understand that, but the reality is this is a huge deal.
Mm-hmm.
There is no way around it. This is, I think I asked the question, what was bigger, NDSU playing on primetime television, on a new sports network, on Fox Sports 1 at Kansas State, or this?
Not close.
This might be bigger.
Oh, I don't think it's close.
Yeah.
If they would have, again, and part of it's just the difference between a new network, Fox Sports 1, which so far seems like it's got a ways to go to climb that ESPN ladder,
right?
That ESPN mountain, and Game Day, again, a show that's been around for, 25 years?
Yes.
And that has such recognizable faces. And when you think analysts in college football, you know, right now, there's nobody better than Herb Street. Nobody better than Kirk Herb Street. There's very few people that can get fans more fired up than Lee Corso. And he's a little bit of a cartoon character.
Absolutely.
But that's part of the draw with him. And people love it. I love it. You know, when he puts on the mascot head at the table, it's great.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Here are some of the guys that come with him. The current personalities. Chris Fowler's your host.
Yep. And Fowler also best in the business.
Lee Corso, analyst. Kirk Herbstreit's an analyst. Desmond Howard, the former Heisman Award winner from Michigan, he'll be coming with. David Pollack, the former University of Georgia linebacker, he usually comes with him as well. And Samantha Ponder. Oh, it's so beautiful. It's so, so beautiful. They had Erin Andrews for a long time travel with them and used to be a correspondent. She's moved on to Fox Sports 1. Sam Ponder, as you know, Christian Ponder's wife.
Yeah.
So that's going to be great. But again, we can go on forever and ever and ever about this. This is just, this is a massive deal for NBC. Yeah. This is only the fourth time that ESPN College Game Day has gone to a non-FBS college. Since 1987, this has been going on. They've been to places, Lincoln, Nebraska. They were just at College Station down at Texas A&M.
This season, it was College Station. It's Ann Arbor, University of Michigan, and first week was at Clemson.
Right.
Those are the three schools, and now let's throw Fargo into that.
Exactly, and Fargo gets thrown in. And so, to me, a question becomes, how did they figure out, or why did they want to come to Fargo? Was it because of how good NDSU was, or was there... Because I have this sneaking suspicion, Brad, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I have this sneaking suspicion that NDSU fans have done enough because of the way they travel to certain places.
No.
You weren't down in Kansas State, and I'll say that
but
when I
Kansas
talked to...
Kansas State was minor compared to what we saw at either the national championship games or any of the three Minnesota games.
But take this in mind. When you talk to Kansas State, and I talked to the beat writer who had been covering Kansas State for a couple of years, five, six, you went, he said, I have never seen a team travel like you do, like NDSU fans do, outside of, he said, Nebraska was the only thing that he could compare it to. He said, now, the SEC travels, that's for sure. But he said, within the Big 12, Nebraska is the only group of fans that he knows that travels as well. And you know, I get it, it's a one-game thing, you're going to make the trip, I understand that. But
I don't think.
But
it had
I wonder if
to
the
fans
had something. You don't think it did?
I think it had to do with a couple things. I think beating Kansas State.
I think
was
that
huge.
Was huge. Yes, I agree.
I think that put them on the radar. It had to do with the fact that again they're two-time defending national champions. That's going to put you when they see that you beat Kansas State. And number three, it's a really really terrible slate of FBS college football games next week.
That was the other question
it
I had.
Is bad. There are no two ranked teams that are playing each other.
Okay.
So I mean,
as of right now, it could change with
maybe
newer
but,
rankings
I mean,
coming out,
the,
which I think
the
they came out today.
The closest thing was unranked. I'm trying to think. Unranked Auburn plays Florida. I think is the best game, and Florida's I think in the upper teens as far as the rankings go. Again, as of the previous weeks, as of yesterday when I checked. So I mean, it was, and for NDSU, I mean, how many horseshoes do we have that we keep catching? We catch teams at the right time.
It's,
we've talked about that. we happen to have a home game. You know, if our bye week was this week, I mean, if it happened to work out where we had games, you know, 2 weeks ago and this past weekend, we don't get it.
Nope.
And but just because, you know, that's just the way it happens. And it even ends up being, it's a terrible opponent for us. I mean, it's not like it's a Northern Iowa.
Well, but I think that's a positive, because that was another thing I have too. Because
what happens if we lose?
Well, that is the thing. But it's good, because I started thinking in my head, it's like, well, why didn't they come 2 weeks from now when they play Northern Iowa? But then, in you know,
then
it's the same thing.
Conference games.
But it's the same thing. I thought is that they care more about FBS because that's where their draw is from.
Absolutely.
And so
they should
absolutely. But when they see a team that's this good and they go, okay, can we actually fit this in? Could this actually work? They call, they say, let's do it. Let's go for it. Let's see what happens. Now I think the NDSU fans who know so are very well informed, it's going to become ridiculous. I know people who say, one guy that I work with in the building says he had 4 or 5 phone calls on Saturday from people wanting tickets to the game, and he says they don't even like football.
Yeah.
But they know what ESPN College Game Day is, and they want to be a part of it. Tailgating is going to be off the wall now, even more so because you come 5 hours before when you can tailgate, but now they're going to come 7 or 8 hours because this thing kicks off at 9, correct, is when they start everything.
Yeah, it's because it's a two-hour show, and it starts at 9
Central.
Central, yes.
Yep, 9 Central, because 11 o'clock Central is usually when the first games of college football start.
And it'll be interesting to see, and Troy kind of alluded to this, that they don't know where they're going to set up yet, but where exactly that's going to be. I mean, campus could be a zoo if they end up not putting it up by the dome, because, you know, you get into parking concerns depending on where you put it, because I think there'd probably be some hesitation to put out in the tailgate lot.
Yes, there would be.
I don't, because people have paid for those spots.
Right. Could you cut off a corner? How big is the stage? I know there's all those logistics going on.
You know,
going
do you
on.
Take that, like, the south side of the dome by the student entrance?
Right. That could be a possibility.
Where
and that
you want to go a spot where you're going to take away the fewest amount of parking, and people are going to have to park a little further away. There's going to be, they're going to take up some spots if they go in a lot.
And I haven't been tailgating early enough, and I might have to be this week. Who knows? Well, actually, I probably will be now. But the question is, as we talk logistics, you and I, the north side of the BSA, could they put their back to that? Because then you have your power source coming from the BSA and then shut off that street.
No, I don't. Shut off 15th there? Is it? No. Is it 15th that goes behind? No, I'm getting all turned around. No, 15th doesn't go behind. 15th's in front of the BSA.
I think it doesn't matter.
That's not a major artery.
And it is for parking when they come in, because you park right in that area.
A little bit, but there's other ways. I mean, you could come in on the north side.
They mostly come in 19th and University.
And University. So you could direct people a couple of different ways as far as parking goes. The biggest thing, though, is what they want to have open spots in the back, because they want to cram as many people. They want to show off the atmosphere. I mean, that's part of the draw. You know, when you looked at last week or this past weekend when they were down at College Station. I mean, they had people with signs. I saw Catherine Webb, AJ McCarron's girlfriend. There were, you know, signs of her that some of the A&M faithful were holding up. And, you know, it's they want to show that off.
Yep.
So they want to have a place where, you know, from where you're looking at behind the set, that there's enough space for the Bison fans to just pile in.
Yeah, I agree. So, and that might be one. Another one.
You know, if they were looking at spots on campus.
Yeah, that was the other place. Where on campus? You know it better than I do, because you work there daily, and I don't get a chance to get up there as much as possible. On campus, where?
There's a couple of spots that came to mind for me.
Could it be behind Churchill?
That was one. Is Churchill Field. There's an open area there.
Which is the dorm on campus.
Right behind my office, actually, is where that is.
Which would be awesome for you.
Yes, it would. I might not get much work done
at
the end of next week, but you know what? Whatever. It's kind of how it goes.
Yeah.
There's kind of there's not a ton of space there, depending on how much they need, but kind of that Babbling Brook area. There's some space in there that maybe they could set up. Churchill Field probably makes the most sense if you can get the power there. Because otherwise, unless you're doing it in a parking lot, unless you're doing it like the visitor lot right across from Sudro Hall, the Pharmacy Nursing Allied Sciences building.
That doesn't allow for much ambiance and atmosphere, if you ask me. I just feel like it would be tough.
Yeah.
I feel like what they're going to want to do is, when they look at it and talk to NEC, they're going to want to do it to closest to tailgating as possible.
I think so.
And so you're going to look at stuff further north than you are south. If you're going to be on campus, that's going to make it really tough, where NDSU is going to go, okay, what we're going to have to do is...
And here's the other side of it. There's class that goes on. You know, I mean, that's got to be... Doesn't it have to be a little bit of a consideration that, hey, you know, you don't want to put it out in the middle of classroom buildings while teachers are trying to, you know...
And they have their pre-production shots that they do of people cooking and everything.
Yeah.
And they'll be out in the tailgate.
But the Babbling Brook will be a very common area that we'll see in some of those shots. And
you'll see a lot of that. It's just, my question is, what do they do now? Where do they set up? And then the other question that I have, which is completely dorky and everybody's going to be asking anyways, is who's the celebrity going to be?
Yeah, because we talked about that too.
Yeah, and he brought it up. Troy did that. Yeah. He didn't know that was one of the questions they have. I get the impression that in their pre-production meeting tonight, or today actually, that NDSU was kind of like a bunch of fans. They weren't, you know, guys that had the suits on. We're going, okay, here's what we're going to do. And they probably had a lot of that going on.
Yeah.
But he said they were firing questions away. I can imagine they were like, so where are you going to be? Where are you going to set up? What are you going to do? Can I be Corso? Can I be Derp Street? What's going to happen here?
Can I hit him his head? Do I
get
to?
Yeah, exactly. So it's going to be all of this stuff. I would say, and just for the heck of it, I think the only person that I could think of, because NDSU is a little bit short when it comes to famous people that have actually had some connection to the school, my guess would be Phil Hansen.
It's got to be Phil, I think. I mean, you look at, and being in admission, you know, we know a few of the other guys and folks that are somewhat famous alums. And I mean, you know, the composer for all the music of The Simpsons is an NDSU grad.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Alf Clausen. Yeah, he's an
NDSU
grad.
Well, see, they went with Lyle Lovett this last week, and he's a Grammy Award country artist.
And then you start thinking, okay, who's got ties to North Dakota? And Josh Duhamel's, I mean, it's Minot, but, you know, he's got some ties to North Dakota. But, again, I think it probably is going to be, it has to be Phil.
Well, now that you mentioned it, now that you said that, I didn't know that the composer of all the Simpsons music was an NDSU grad, and they do their research. That's for sure, because they're gonna dig and try to figure out who they could get and could they fly this guy up there.
And you want somebody who's gonna be, who knows if this guy has ever even seen a football game.
Right, that's true, too. If he even cares about NDSU.
Yeah, and when you've got a guy that... And I think part of the charm of showing off some of the smaller schools like NDSU is, hey, there's pretty good people that have come from here.
What about Chuck Klosterman? He used to work for the Forum for a little bit. And he works a little bit for Grantland.
Grantland, yeah. That's an interesting name.
He's kind of a pop culture / sports writer.
Now, is he an NDSU or is he an MSUM guy?
Boy, I want to say MSUM, I'm not sure. I know he's North Dakota originally, Southern, maybe Enderlin, Kindred kind of area. I can't remember. But I know he's part of that. He's from that area. To me, it'll be fun to see. And, of course, you and I right away were discussing it before the show, saying, oh, it could be this guy, it could be that guy. And now that we sit here and go back and forth discussing it.
And like I said, I think they want to show off that, hey, when you have something like this, they want to show off that these guys have a good football tradition. And when you can say, hey, they've got a guy who's on the Ring of Honor for the Buffalo Bills, That's a pretty big deal. So
Chuck Klosterman's from Breckenridge, Minnesota.
And he grew up near Winemere.
That's what it was. He grew up near Winemere, and he was a journalist at Fargo. I know he worked at the Forum for a little bit. University of North Dakota guy. Yeah. So that'd be a little tough.
Yeah.
Now the final question I have, because we got to move on from this, because we could talk about it all night long. But
we might after the podcast.
We might have to. The final question becomes best sign you assume you will see. Because I already know what sign is going to show up 3 or 4 times.
Oh.
It's a certain school up north, their former nickname, and how they feel about him. That sign is going to show up, and you know it is.
And that bothers me. Can I go on a mini rant here?
A little bit of a mini rant.
There is no reason to give that other school, to give UND, any sort of publicity with that. Do not put their name on a sign. Do not put anything anywhere. They're so far in the rearview mirror right now that, I just don't understand why we would give them any sort of publicity like that.
I agree with you. I completely agree with you. It really seems like a dumb thing to do. It will happen.
Somebody
will sneak that sign in. It'll happen.
I was visiting with my brother yesterday, Travis, and I pitched him a sign that my brother, you know my brother.
Yes.
He's a pretty creative guy.
He is.
And not always in a nice way is he a creative guy. And I pitched him a sign that he maybe him even kind of smile and be like, yeah, that's not bad. And of course I can't remember.
You can't
it now,
remember what it was. You're so brilliant. You even faked out your own mind.
I did. I'm not, it's not brilliant. It's just old.
There'll be something to do with, Samantha Ponder because Christian Ponder's the Vikings quarterback. There'll be something to do with Marry Me or
something
maybe less intelligent.
There may be something not so nice about her husband.
Right.
That very well could
happen.
I'm
very curious to see the inventiveness, it's not the word I'm looking for.
Creativity,
thank you, of NDSU students and NDSU fans
when
it comes to
these
signs. Because that's a big part of it too. I mean the signs are a big part of College Game Day, as the headgear is, as the guy who's the famous alum or famous connection to NDSU. It's all very, very cool with what they do. And they're gonna be on campus starting Wednesday is when they're going to start to set up. I assume that the personalities are going to roll in Friday night.
I mean, and it depends. Again, it depends. And Troy mentioned too, and he kind of led into what we were subtly asking about when he started talking about Scott Van Pelt. That's the guy that we really want to see, and that adds a whole another layer because SVP's radio show is huge, and that's another 2 days of shows, because usually I think it's either Friday or Thursday that he'll typically broadcast from the campus that game day is from.
The question is because where is he doing it from?
But that's why they've got to come up, and I'm assuming they'll start to get that set going.
Yeah.
We could loan him out the KNDS studios.
Yeah.
The campus station. Because that's a couple more days of shows. And again,
a couple more days of exposure.
And he mentioned Van Pelt loves us.
Oh, yeah, he does.
Smaller football.
Has the helmet on his show all the time. Yeah, SVP is he's one of the best connections to the school. And one of the cooler stories, I shouldn't say best connections, but one of the cooler stories, because it happened when NDSU was making that run 2010, when they were about to play Eastern Washington, I want to say. That playoff run, he had thrown up the helmet, I think, 2 days before they played Eastern Washington out in Washington. And, you know, some player on the team had tweeted out the picture of it, and SVP responded. Then became a thing after that.
Yep.
He loved the kind of response he got from that. By the way, have you seen the helmet on the new Visa commercial? I shouldn't say. I mean, it's a new credit card commercial. But have you seen the NDSU helmet on there?
No.
Check it out. There's a, I'll say, a Visa commercial out there that's on that runs during the NFL with, is it John Harbaugh coaches the Niners? I can't remember.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that commercial.
Just with
the little kids?
Yeah, pay close attention to one of them. And I'm almost positive it's an NDSU helmet on that commercial.
Interesting. Okay, I'll keep a lookout.
Yeah. So many things going on. We just talked about NDSU. This is a bye week, by the way, for the NDSU football team.
We ain't talking about a game. We ain't even talking about practice.
We're talking about game day. Super exciting. There is no way that you can put this in. Well, there's probably ways you can put it in a negative light, but for the very hard super critic to go, well, this is a bad thing, it's really hard to find a negativity.
Does something dumb, and it's going to be great. Being an NDSU working in admission, I'm pretty excited about it. I mean, you know, just all the exposure that we can get is helpful, and I have faith NDSU is going to, they're going to leave a really good impression. We leave a good impression on fans of teams that we don't particularly care for.
Right.
And for the most part.
It's at North Dakota Nice. I think that the fans and the people in general are just going to be great and gracious to everybody that comes for ESPN and for the production crew. It's going to be just a lot of fun. It's going to be a great time. So the questions that we had listed down, I don't know if we'll get to all of them, but we'll try to get to some. We're halfway through this podcast. The first question I had in this bye week, and I didn't know the college thing was going to come out because this question that I have might take up a little more time too, NDSU football wise. There was a lot of talk this week because it was a bye week of NDSU making it into the top 25 of the FBS rankings, and if they even deserved a spot in the football bowl subdivision rankings, which obviously separate from football championship subdivision. And somebody had mentioned me in a campus article, which I was very thrilled about, and he said that he believes if they went on to do what they did throughout the year, continue to dominate, then maybe they should. What do you feel, Brad? Because I honestly don't think they deserve a spot there.
I feel like I don't want to get into this topic because I feel like all we should be doing is talking positive about NDSU, because I agree with you. I mean, I think the top 25 of an FBS...
Well, there's nothing negative about it.
Is a little bit of a stretch, but...
Yes.
But... Yeah, I'm with you. It's just a stretch. There shouldn't be more than one Delaware State or that on your schedule. And there's not even a top 25 team on the NDSU schedule.
The only thing that would change it in my mind is if they went out. They have to do two things for me, which are probably highly unlikely. The first thing they have to do is they have to just go out and crush every opponent from here on out by 30 or 20 or three touchdowns. I mean, absolutely dominate to the point where you go, there's nobody in FCS that can touch them. Not a chance.
Yep.
The other thing that has to happen for me is Kansas State has to end up having a very big season.
Yeah.
You know, say win the Big 12, get up into the rankings, and then you look at that NDSU win and go, oh boy.
Then you can have that discussion. But I agree with that.
But if Kansas State goes 6-5, even 7-4, they're not going to get any looks. Top 25-wise, they're going to go to a nice bowl, but all it's going to be for NDSU is going to be a big win for them because of the name recognition, but the team overall wasn't that great. And they're not going to win every game by 21. To me, that's the most ridiculous thing. I mean, they're that good that there's that possibility, but it's so slim, like 1%, like less than 1%. It's going to be very slim for them to do something like that. So, to me, you and I, we don't have to spend a lot of time talking about it because
I agree.
We don't think they deserve to be in the top 25. The second local question I had was the schedule for NDSU's men's basketball team was finalized this week. Brad, what do you see on this schedule that you maybe like or dislike about it?
I'm curious what yours is. I'm gonna pass this one to you. I'm gonna let you go first. I'm curious as to what your answer is on this.
I love it. I love the strength of the schedule.
Well, we've talked about that, but I mean, which game? We talked about that a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I think it maybe not just which game. It might just be the collection. The fact you're playing St. Mary out of California. You're playing Notre Dame, you're playing Ohio State, you're playing some solid mid-majors. You're getting yourself prepared for a conference schedule against Summit League competition that you feel you should win. Now, you can go out and play every lower mid-major or lower division, I shouldn't say lower division, but lower, you know, small major school out there, bottom of the brackets, bottom of the, you know, rankings when it comes to their conference, and dominate them and look awesome in non-conference. Or you can do what NDSU is going to do this year, which I've seen South Dakota State do the last couple years, and is go out and find tough opponents, which Coach Scott Nagy for South Dakota State did a great job. Said, I have a good team here, but let's find out how good. I mean, I want to go out and play New Mexico and New Mexico, and I want to go out and play these solid mid-major teams and maybe even higher programs where these guys that we're going to play, you know, the Nate Walters of the world, can understand, okay, here's what I need to do to get my game better. And when we face Summit League competition, we're not going to face these type of players, these types of teams. And NDSU, I think, needs that. I think they need that particularly this year because they're favorite to win the conference. They're favorite to win the league. Denver's a good team. Denver won like 20 games last year. They're a solid school. NDSU, this isn't a walk in the park for them. As much as we'd like to say it is, it's not going to be. So in order to build up that confidence, they're going to lose. They're going to take some bumps and bruises. They're going to lose a couple of those games.
You're getting away from your question
here. But I like the strength of schedule in the non-conference.
Yes, well, yeah, we talked
about
that.
Toughest stretch of games that I see would be those games.
Well, obviously. No, you're still getting away from the question.
Okay, what was the question?
You play one. You can play Notre Dame. You can play at Ohio State. You can play Santa Clara. You get one game. Which one?
If I was to go to?
Yep.
Oh, I'd Santa Clara.
Santa Clara?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Really? Yeah. Because Notre Dame and Ohio State are these big schools that aren't known for basketball. And it's just, to me, it's they're going to have good programs because they have the money to go out and get the big-time recruits. But to me, the St. Mary's one out in Moraga, California, I don't even know if I pronounced that right, but the St. Mary's game to me is the game that I would love to go see. If I had one opportunity to go see a non-conference game this year, I would love to go to St. Mary's because that program, the Gales, had to build themselves up. They did it in a very odd way. They recruit Australian players. That's kind of their shtick. They did it in the West Coast Conference against Gonzaga, which was just a dominant school in that conference forever. And then St. Mary's said, hey, here we are. I like that game. That would be the game I'd want to go to. How about you?
Ohio State, all day. I mean, you can say that Ohio State's a football school, and it absolutely is, but they've probably got the best basketball program in the Big Ten right now.
What about Indiana?
It's probably those two. You're right. Indiana slipped my mind. Which is really bad.
Yeah, that is really
That's
odd.
That's really bad. But they've been, honestly, they've been doing it for a longer stretch than Indiana recently.
They've been more consistent in the last, I want to say, 5 to 10, maybe 5 years, because I know Indiana went to the national championship not too long ago.
That was more than 10 years ago.
That was more than 10 years after Knight got fired. That was more than 10 years.
It was the year after Knight got fired.
So the last decade, I think Ohio State has probably been the most consistent Big Ten team out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Michigan has had their run the last couple of years. Indiana's starting to get back. But yeah, you're right. Okay.
So
I respect that answer, but yeah. I'd still go St. Mary's.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, because when it comes to college basketball, I think
after forgetting Indiana, I feel like I need to stop talking about college basketball.
I think we both need to stop talking college basketball, and we'll move on from there, and we'll move on into
regional.
All right, Vikings Bears, 31-30 was the defeat. The Vikings lost.
Are you willing to admit? I'm not even going to let you finish here. Are you willing to admit that the Vikings are terrible yet?
Oh no, I'm not.
They lost a game that they forced four turnovers, including a pick six, and had a kickoff return for a touchdown, and they still lost the game against a team that neither of us thinks is very good in the Bears.
No, and 2-0 to start. They're the best team in the NFC North, but I'm not going to admit that the Vikings
are
terrible.
They're not the best team. They just have the best record.
Well,
that's
what I mean
there.
Currently. Currently, I mean the best team.
No, they have the best record. Currently, the best team in the NFC North is still Green Bay.
Anyways, I think that the Vikings still are a good football team.
How can you say that?
I do.
Did you watch the game
today? I watched the majority of it, if not all of it. I still think they're a good football team. I think Christian Ponder played well today. He had a few dumb throws. But he played well.
Oh, you got to be kidding me.
They're up 30-24 on the road. They need a stop. The defense let them down. But this game, they were 6-point.
The defense didn't
they were
let
six
them down.
Point
the
underdogs.
Defense forced four turnovers.
But the defense couldn't come up with the stop when they needed it the most.
They got four turnovers. If you cannot score enough points with your defense giving you four turnovers,
how is 30 not enough? How is 30 not enough?
And the special teams, I mean.
No, this is on the defense to me because if you can't stop a team.
Well, their defense is bad, too.
The defense did not play bad.
They're not bad, period.
They're a good team. They're going through some lumps. It's tough to go on the road, and when I honestly thought they were going to win this game, and they should.
They should have, but they somehow lost a game where they got four turnovers and a return touchdown.
How many?
If you can't win that game, then you're a bad team.
You're not a bad team.
Yes,
you are. No, you're not a bad team just because you get four turnovers. I get that. The odds say after that many turnovers, you should win the game. But when you, as an offense, go down and you say, hey, look, our defense, we've given you a six-point lead.
And by the way, okay, hold on a sec. Number one, the offense didn't score 30 points.
This is true.
The offense scored,
I'll give you that,
16.
The team in whole, though, gave them 30 points. The team overall gave them 30 points. The defense screwed it up on the last drive. But I will say this, because this is probably something we can agree on. The play call on a third and goal, when you're only up three, they decided to run it with Adrian Peterson on a third and goal. I think they're inside the five, maybe. And,
see, here's the dumb thing. I'm not going to criticize play calling.
I will.
Because then if they throw it and Ponder throws an incompletion or something happens there, then you're saying, how do you not give, this happened 2 years ago, how do you not give the ball to your best player down there? It was exactly what was said then. You know what makes it a good play call? If they make the blocks and he gets in, that's what makes it a good play call.
Yeah, okay, I'll give you that. But I still think in that situation, you got to go pass.
You'd rather have the ball in Christian Ponder's hand than Adrian Peterson's hand.
I'd rather give him an opportunity to throw it into the end zone.
So I'm
okay, yes, then I, in that situation, on third and goal from the three or further out, yes.
If at any point in time you would rather have the ball in Christian Ponder's hands than Adrian Peterson's hand,
you,
my friend, know nothing about football.
I put myself in a box. I understand. However, there were, to me, in that situation, I'd still go, okay, here's what we're going to do. Take a shot. Musgrave had a good thing going there, play calling. Ponder was finding some success down the field. Greg Jennings was making some big catches. Why not make a shot? They played safe on that play call. They did, because they knew they were going to get a field goal, and they're thinking, all right, we'll play safe here. Why not bury the team? Why not go, let's go for the touchdown? Because we're going to make a field goal whether we're 2 yards out or 3 yards out. They're not a bad team. Again, like you said, they're not.
How much time is it going to have to take for you to admit that they're bad?
If they go 0-4 and they lose, where they have Cleveland coming up or something in week four, they have a really bad team at home. And Pittsburgh as well. In London or something. I don't know who they have next week.
Jay Cutler moved the ball very well against them.
He
gifted them the ball, and they still, I mean, to me,
if they start 0-4 and they lose to teams they should beat at home, I'll say bad team. But it's two games, A. B, I'm probably going to lose my bet on the 11 wins thing. I'm noticing that.
You think?
They're record-wise the worst team in the division. But here's the other thing. Would you say Green Bay is a bad team because they gave up 400-plus yards through the air to the 49ers?
Their game plan was, the last time we played Colin Kaepernick, he ran for an insane amount of yards. Let's see if the kid can beat us throwing the ball. And he did.
Okay.
I mean, but they said that was the game plan going in, is we're not going to let him run the ball all over us again, because that caused so many problems that, you know, that we couldn't deal with it. Their skill, Anquan Boldin was better. Their skill position guys were just better than the defensive backs of Green Bay.
Does Green Bay have a good defense?
I haven't watched as much of Green Bay. I've watched every snap of both Minnesota games.
Right.
I don't know that Green Bay has I don't know that I'd say it's a good defense. Probably not. But their offense is way better than Minnesota's.
I think for what they
way better.
I think for what they want to do, yeah, it is way better. I think Minnesota,
for
though,
what they want to
well,
do.
Well, they want to throw mean, the they
yeah,
want to
they
throw
want
the ball.
Put points on the board. By the way, you realize that you said Ponder had a good game, 16 of 30, 227 yards and a touchdown.
And how many picks? Two.
Something. Yeah, that's
two
a
picks.
Good game for Ponder. If
yes,
if that's I mean that's just it. If you're
I mean,
saying
yeah,
that's a good
is.
Game, you know what? I don't understand how you don't see a terrible team with this. I just don't get it. They have a good running back, a great running back. They have the best running back in the league.
Absolutely.
They have Greg Jennings, who's decent. Jerome Simpson's been better than I expected him to be.
Yes, he has.
And he's 16 of 30 with two picks.
It's not a bad team. They're not a great team. They're a good team, and there's a good team lying in there somewhere. I know there is. But
you're delusional.
I'm not delusional. See, Viking fans, what I've noticed, it's they cannot find a middle. They can't find a happy medium. They're either oh, yeah, no. We're awesome. Brett Favre is the greatest thing ever.
There's a lot of Vikings fans like that, yes. Last year, I thought the Vikings were an 8-8 team. I thought they were okay.
I thought they were a 6-10 team. Okay. I really did. I thought they weren't going to be that good.
Okay.
And then they found a blueprint that worked for them. It was run the ball a heavy amount and play safe. You have to change
your blueprint a little bit in the NFL to be successful. And the coaches and people are just too smart. And if all you're going to do is hand the ball off, we saw it with AP. You know, he averaged less than 4 yards a carry this game.
Yeah, he did.
Against the Bears, who, again, not that good.
Putting 8 in the box. Yeah, and I get that.
Is that going to stop if putting 8 in the box?
If you go 16 for 30, no, it's not. You're right. But this is a good team, and they're going to figure it out at some point. And I thought Musgrave was starting to figure it out.
I mean, can I just give – is there a crow that we have somewhere that I can just start putting in the crock
pot
to get
to the bye week, when they get to the bye week and they're 0-4, I will
– Even 1-3.
Yeah. It all depends on how the games go. It really does. And what I saw today, you saw a bad team, and what I saw was a defense that – didn't play how I think they should play. And I think they're a better defense than what today showed. But we'll find out next week. We'll find out the week after that. Because we might be here in 2 weeks, Brad, and we might be talking again about the Vikings, and we might be talking about the fact that, yeah, they're 0-4, Daniel. How bad do you look? I don't think that's going to happen. I really don't. Okay. But we'll see. We'll see. One more regional question before we move on to Nashville, because I think we have to talk. I like the topic about our head coach topic that we're going to have come up in some NFL stuff overall. Byron Buxton was named Minor League Player of the Year by, I want to say, Baseball America. And it doesn't matter. It was some outfit. Who is it a bigger deal for? Him, the franchise, or the fans?
Right now?
The Minor League Twins player, Byron Buxton. Right now. Right now.
Him. Because the fans don't get to see him right now. And
not a majority of them.
And the franchise, I mean, all it is right now is hope.
Okay.
And, you know, will he be able to do this in the majors? Will he not? We don't know that yet. So for right now, it's probably him because everything else, he's still a lottery ticket right now. He's a lottery ticket with fewer number combinations, but he's a lottery ticket.
To me, I think it's a big deal for the fans first. Him second and the franchise third. Because I agree with you in the fact that, you know, he's Minor League Player of the Year, but we haven't seen him and how he's done in the majors. And we won't probably for another couple of years in my mind. I don't think he'll be up for to 2015, maybe late 2014, but 2015 to me.
Probably.
At the earliest. But for the fans, because if the Twins were good, it would be him first, foremost. You know, no problem about it. This would be a biggest deal to him. But the Twins are bad. Twins have nothing. I mean, they've got a guy by the name of Pinto hitting homers at Kencher.
You love that.
To me, the fans can look at this and go, yeah, we stink now, but look at this guy. We got the Minor League Player of the Year. Trout was Minor League Player of the Year. Look what Trout did.
I get why you're saying that. My only disagreement there is Twins fans would do that regardless of with somebody down there, regardless of if he was Minor League Player of the Year or not. I mean, we've been listening to this for how many years about this guy in the minors, this guy in the minors. Michael Restovich is going to be the next whatever. This Italian guy that I can't pronounce, oh, he's going to come up and he's going to be awesome. I mean,
right. you never know. And
this Mastroianni guy, oh, he's going to be Aaron Hicks. He's the next Torrey Hunter. I mean,
you never know. You really don't.
But I mean, that's what I'm saying is that fans would be saying that regardless of if they had Player of the Year or not. That's why I think it's probably a little bit bigger deal for him.
Let me give you a list of former or previous winners of Minor League Player of the Year from Baseball America.
Now, are you going to just pick and choose, or are you going to run down?
No, I'm reading an article from CBS Sports, and they've picked and choose.
Oh, okay.
So here's the guys, but they do put a little thing in the end. Mike Trout was one of them. Will Myers, Joe Mauer, Derek Jeter, Manny Ramirez, Frank Thomas were a handful of them.
Okay.
And they say, and this is pretty much an opinion piece.
Yep.
Baseball America, the last person to be given this award from Baseball America and not become at least an average Major League Baseball player, Dalman Young in 2005. And so I don't know the entire list in the last few years, but that obviously when they say at least not an average baseball player, that to me screams opinion piece.
Yeah.
I mean, there's facts written in here, a lot of his stats and everything. But
I'd be curious to see that list.
Yeah, I would be too. But to me, again, fans really have nothing going on for them for the Twins. I mean, again, Pinto hitting homers. They're playing meaningless games at the end of September for a third straight year, I think. That's why it's a big deal for them. So we'll move on from there, and we'll get to – whoop, hang on. Let me get the voice guy in on this. Voice guy, where are we going?
National.
Thank you. So NFL Week 2. I wanted to start – I mean, I have a couple questions down here. What game was the most entertaining – but the Vikings game was pretty entertaining.
That was my choice. Yeah. I mean, it was like it wasn't real clean football, but it was entertaining.
The end of the Buffalo Carolina game to me was
pretty good.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
How EJ Manuel won the game.
The end of the Philly San Diego game.
That was entertaining as well. Dallas stung. That's another thing too. We can actually talk about this. We'll bring in the. How about the Chiefs? Dallas scored what against the Giants, which now
we're finding out the
Giants defensively are pear-shaped because after what Peyton Manning did to them and the Cowboys had 30-some points against them in Week 1. But the Chiefs came out allowed 16 points to Dallas. That's impressive.
Yeah, people and there were some sharp people that were on the Chiefs early. Apparently the sharp Vegas guys were all over him. Bill Simmons buying into the
Chiefs.
Was
Peter King into the Chiefs? Because I feel like he was into the Browns.
Yeah.
And the Browns have like 12 points through 2 weeks, so...
He was into the Browns defense. To be fair to him, he was more Browns defense.
Okay. But no, the Chiefs, that's to me surprising what they've done. They have talent on the team that, I mean, they've got a solid receiver in Dwayne Bowe, a good running back in Jamal Charles, and Alex Smith is your typical possession above average quarterback,
above
I'd say.
Above average quarterback, yeah.
But he does a good job, and Andy Reid is not an idiot. I mean, when you have a team get to the NFC Championship game four years in a row, you're doing something well, and when you're able to do it with a guy like Donovan McNabb, it's pretty good. He's had a good team, and he's done well as a coach. So I really thought if Dallas was going to come in there and really prove to people that, okay, last week the Chiefs got lucky, they played a really bad team. Chiefs came to play. I was impressed. I really was. And Dallas is a good offensive team. Mm-hmm. They really are, and only could give up 16 points, and Romo threw for like 200-some yards. A good impressive showing for my sake to see them do this.
Yeah.
The question I had put out there, let's start this. Worst coaches in the NFL list. We'll go three coaches that we think, and we'll rank them 3-2-1. And this list will change as week goes on, week by week.
But I don't like this.
Why?
I know, because you're using it because you want to troll Giants fans because you hate the Giants.
I really don't. I honestly don't.
But to put Tom Coughlin on this list is insane.
When's the last time they made the playoffs?
They won the Super Bowl like 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah, what have you done for me lately? That's what the NFL is, not for long. it's completely is.
Hey, how about we put your boy Jason Garrett on the list? I believe he should be
somewhere. He'd probably 4 or 5 if we went fifth. Gosh. I mean, he's a guy that I think would be on there too. Frankly, that's how it is. Andy Reid. Okay, let me ask you this question. How long was Andy Reid removed from his last playoff appearance with the Eagles before they fired him?
How is that different? Because it wasn't a referendum on his coaching ability. It was a hey, we think it's time to make a little bit of change in the culture here.
And so
that's not a referendum on that he was a bad coach. Nobody said Andy Reid is a bad coach. They said we need a little bit of a change here.
But if he
there's
was
a big, big difference
but
between
see,
that.
But see, to me, it's I always look at it, if you're a good coach, you keep your job. If you're a bad coach, the result...
Tom Coughlin has been there for how many years?
I don't know, honestly.
He's been there a long, long time. Tom Coughlin, this is asking.
Okay, so if I didn't put Tom Coughlin up there, and I thought of the Tennessee Titans head coach, who I do not know, if I put him up there, would you have been happy with this list?
Yes.
You're just angry about the fact that I have Tom Coughlin second.
I'm angry that you have a 2-time Super Bowl winning coach who's won his 2 Super Bowls, one of his Super Bowls within the last 2 or 3 years on this list. Yes, I think that's just completely insane. When you don't have Jason Garrett on this list, who along with his boss has turned this into a train wreck.
And you have Jim Schwartz on there too, which I like.
Yeah.
I hate Jim Schwartz.
Yeah, not a Jim Schwartz fan. Ron Rivera, I agree with you there. Schiano, no argument. I mean, those other two guys, yeah, they belong in this list. But
so yeah, Ron Rivera 3. I have Ron Rivera 3, Tom Coughlin 2, and Greg Schiano 1. Who would your 3 then be? Because you completely hate my Tom Coughlin.
I'd probably just swap Jason Garrett in there.
You'd put Jason Garrett 2.
Nah, no, I'd probably put Rivera 2. I'd bump Rivera up. And it, three would be really tough for me between Jason Garrett and Jim Schwartz. It'd be one of those two guys.
All right.
I don't have any problem with Schiano at one, though. That's, I mean, that's, that place is just a train wreck.
Yep. I think Freeman wants out now, I think, is one of the things.
And they want Freeman out, and yeah, it's just a, it's an abject disaster there.
Oh, it's pretty bad in Tampa Bay. So we'll discuss this more, because I think as the season goes on,
because if you want to make, if I you want to do something like that, then you know who the most clutch quarterback in the NFL right now is?
Oh, boy.
Jay Cutler, because he's got 2 fourth-quarter comebacks in the first 2 weeks of the season.
Well, actually, he's 19 game-winning drives now after this week. You don't think of Jay Cutler as a clutch quarterback. You think of maybe Eli Manning, definitely Tom Brady,
Eli Manning,
Peyton
Tom
Manning,
Brady.
Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees.
Yep.
You think of those guys. Yeah. You don't think of Jay Cutler.
Mm-hmm.
But Jay Cutler, I think they said he's about second or first, I almost want to say, for regular season game-winning drives. I mean, in his career, 19, that's unbelievable. Between Denver and Chicago, he's not a bad quarterback. So, all right, college football, Bama, Texas A&M. What did you think? Quick synopsis on there, because I want to get to our last question.
I think I could have rushed for $125 with some of the holes that Alabama offensive line was opening up. Holy cats. I mean, I was watching with my dad and my brother. I mean, it was unbelievable how big those lanes were.
What does that tell you about the number one team then? Defensively, I want to say. Or does it say that's how special Johnny Manziel is as a player?
I think he's pretty special.
I really do. There were the plays he was making when I was watching that game. I was in and out with it. But when I was watching, I was going, boy, he's really good.
I think he's special, yeah.
The best thing that they said on the broadcast was when Alabama, I want to say, was a third and goal, and they decided instead of running for it, they went for a touchdown, which is not their MO. And one of the play-by-play or the color guy said, the reason they do that, in my opinion, is because Nick Saban has so much respect for Johnny Manziel, because he believes in his mind that he's so talented and can score so many points that he would make it a game at 45-35. And he just wants to—he wants to be up that much. Now, that was his opinion, his take, and I liked it. I really did. But again, knowing Nick Saban, he's probably just, well, I won't win. I want to get recruiting and national championships.
Don't ask him about DJ Fluker. Do not ask him about DJ Fluker.
Oh man, that was great. What did he say at the end? He goes, "I will take any question that has to do with the game."
Yeah. And glad y'all want to talk about the game.
Yeah, and then just locked off. Oh, God. It was great. And by the way, I have to throw this: Nebraska's defense stinks, and they should get rid of Pelini. That was just pitiful on Saturday. I'm a Husker fan, and I'm sad. Okay, now we saved not the best, because NDSU has ESPN College Safecake coming to Fargo, so that was the best topic we had.
Easily.
And that was given to us. And the second best topic we had, I came up with this topic because it was very light when it came to sports. I didn't think we'd have much to talk about, and then all of a sudden something happened. But Brad is a huge basketball fan, and so am I, to be frank about it. So I came up with this question. I'll try to break it down. Brad, help me out as best as I can. So the question is, or essentially the assignment is that I want to pick a pickup basketball team, say at the Y, and I want to make it up of the best NBA players at their position through the decades of 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and 2000s that incorporates the last 3 years in the NBA.
Sure.
So the rules are that you have everybody in the NBA that you can think of to pick for from the last 5 decades. However, there are stipulations. One, you have to pick. You can only pick one player from their true position. So if you have one center, you cannot pick another center.
And you can't. You know, even though LeBron could play point logistically guard, 1 through 4, he's a small forward
for the purposes
of this.
So you can only pick one per position. So essentially you're filling out a true starting lineup. The second stipulation is that you can only pick one of the players from each decade. So, for instance, John Stockton to me, and this will be a discussion we can have, John Stockton to me is a 1990s guy. That's your only 1990s guy you can pick. Can't take Jordan. Can't take, let's see, who else do I have?
Malone.
You can't take Malone.
David Robinson.
Right, you can't take Tim, well, you could take Tim Duncan, but you're right. Can't take Hakeem Olajuwon. You cannot take another 1990s player.
Yep.
So you essentially kind of use up 2 and 1, where you go after those stipulations. And to make it fair, since I came up with the question, I gave Brad Jones, the White Shadow, the first pick. So, Brad, without any further ado, who are you going to open up the draft with?
Yeah, not a lot of surprises here. I'm handing David Stern Michael Jordan in the 90s, and I'm going to do that with a big, big smile on my face.
Okay, so Michael Jordan, shooting guard, 1990s. Me, with the second pick, I'm going to go LeBron James. So that takes care of my small Ford and the 2000s. Brad?
With my next one, and I'm trying to go with some of the thinner positions here. And with small forward being out, I think that kind of solidifies who I want. And I want all five of my guys to be able to score really, really well.
Okay.
I'm going to take... I've got two guys that I'm going back and forth. I'm probably going to take Magic.
80s, okay.
80s Magic.
I like it. I do, because he would have been...
That's where I expected you to go second.
He would have been my third point guard pick, essentially.
Ooh.
Because I like a team with a point guard that can run. And I like a guy that...
and he can run.
Well, he can, but I like a guy like a John Stockton almost.
Oh.
That can dish, that can run the pick and roll. Because I want a power forward that can run the pick and roll. But John Stockton's not going to be my second pick.
Okay.
My second pick, Oscar Robertson.
That's who I was debating between. It was between Magic and Oscar were my two guys.
And Oscar Robertson is Mr. Triple-Double.
In the 60s, yeah.
And so I have two guys that can do it all. LeBron.
Underrated basketball player of all time.
Absolutely.
Is Oscar.
Okay, so my small forward and point guard are gone. Your shooting guard, your backcourt is done. So are the 80s and 90s for you. I still have the 70s, 80s, and 90s left for me. So
yeah, I got 70s, 80s, and 2000s.
So go ahead. You've got your two forwards and center, your front
you
court.
You know, I'm going to go a little bit off the board with my center.
Okay.
Not a guy that you'd expect. I'm going to go 1980s Moses Malone. He averaged a double.
You have him as a center, because I looked it up and I had him as a power forward.
You had Moses as a power forward?
Yes, which I was a little bit odd at, because I'm looking at his height, and he's what, 6'10"?
Moses is a center.
Okay, which is fine, because I didn't really have him too high on the picks anyways.
It's like I said, just with the way that I've, the kind of the dynamics of my team, and actually, I mean, if I had him as a power forward, that would be fine too with what I want to do, but I'm going to take Moses Malone in the 80s as my center.
Okay, so that takes care of your center position and the 80s. My third pick, and I didn't really go beyond my first two because I feel like with those two, it's just pretty much, all right, give me...
Oh, wait a minute. No, wait a minute. I went Magic in the 80s. I can't go the 80s. What am I doing?
Oh, yeah. Look at that.
I'm breaking the rules already.
I didn't notice it. I should have called you. It's my bad. I'm sorry. So you can't take him.
So I can't take him. No, I'm going to go instead then give me, and this was a big, big debate for me. Well, actually, you know what? No, I'm going to go with a matchup play for you, because I'm going to take, I think, the only guy athletically who can guard LeBron. I'm going 1970s Dr. J.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah, I think he's the only guy who's going to be able to match up with LeBron in a pickup game.
Okay. So that leaves some options for me. I have the center, the shooting guard, and the power forward left. And my 2000s and my 60s are gone. A good question, and I had him picked after you took Moses Malone accidentally. I'm gonna stick with him. I'm gonna go. Oh boy, that's a toss up, because I'm between a power forward and a center right now.
Yep.
And I, you know what? As I look at the power forward list, because I could probably I'm gonna go Karl Malone.
Karl Malone
as my power forward. And so that will take care of one of my front court. The mailman, got to get him in. I think just the tenacity and the nastiness that he brings.
That was part of the reason why I was going to go power forward, but I decided to go small forward because I wanted to see who you'd go with power forward. If you're going to go power forward with Malone,
yep.
I'm going to take 2000s Tim Duncan.
Okay.
Because I think defensively, I think Duncan's a guy who could potentially handle, and he's got a height advantage at that spot.
All right. Who is your shooting guard again? Oh, yeah, Jordan.
Yeah,
what am I doing?
That guy.
Yeah. The beautiful thing about this is the names that we're going to have to leave off our teams.
Oh, yeah. Larry Bird's already not making one of these teams.
Exactly. So same with Kobe Bryant, because I can't pick him.
Yep.
My center, this is going to be easy for me, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, 70s.
Yeah.
So that leaves my small forward, and that leaves your...
I gotta have a center in the 60s.
Yes.
Which means I've either got Bill Russell or Wilt Chamberlain.
Well, that's a good question, but I have the guy that I think you're going to go with.
And, you know, when you've got Kareem at center, it's who can mess with Kareem's skyhook the most. Wilt was more of a freak athletically, but Russell was a better defensive player. I think I got to go Bill Russell.
Bill Russell.
Yeah.
Okay. See, I didn't even have Bill Russell on this list because I had Wilt at the 60s.
Yeah.
And that's kind of who I thought you'd go.
It was not an easy decision, but the guy was just insane defensively.
So I'm only left the 1990s, correct?
Nope, you took Malone.
Took Malone. So I'm left with the 80s? Nope. Took John. No. Who do I have left? Do I have the 80s? Yeah, I have the 80s left.
Yep.
Larry Bird.
You already got LeBron.
Oh, yeah. No, I need a shooting guard. That's what I need.
Yeah, good luck with that.
That is a good question. Who's going to be my shooting guard from the 80s? See, I have a couple guys down from the 70s who I can't take, Earl Monroe and George Gervin.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to help me out because I looked up a list.
I mean, the 80s, because I'm trying to think, was Alex English in there? I mean, and it depends. I'd have to look to see what Clyde Drexler's years were like in the 80s. He came in, he didn't have the whole decade, but he came in. I know he was Phi Slamma Jamma with Houston in college. I want to say he came in like 85, though.
And do you give it to me just because I'm struggling because I don't have an 80s guy? Or
after what Michael Jordan did to Drexler in the
finals?
Just,
you might accept it.
Yeah, you can.
Where's Craig Elo on this list? Can we find him, please? Yeah. You know, Allen Iverson was a guy that they had this list on, I want to see, Fox Sports or something like that. And they had Allen Iverson as a shooting guard, which I was kind of like, yeah. I felt more like he was a point guard. But let me run through some of the guys. Jeff Hornacek, I'm looking at a top 25 list. Oh, boy. The shooting guard list has been pretty.
The shooting guard, that's the thing.
I just saw Allen Houston appear on the list.
That's not good.
Jerry Stackhouse on the list. Boy, shooting guards have been really. Latrell Sprewell just made an appearance. Boy, this is just bad.
I guess I think Alex English had his heyday in the 80s.
He did.
And he scored in bunches. And like I said, shooting guard gets ugly quick. After Jordan, Bryant, and probably D. Wade. You got Jerry West in there, but he's earlier.
Yeah, and it's got to be in 80s because I was going to say, what about Pistol Pete? And I almost put him down as a point guard, essentially. They have Joe Dumars as a shooting guard.
Yeah, Dumars is a shooting guard.
Really?
Yep.
Well, I suppose Isaiah Thomas.
Yep.
Well, you know what? Joe Dumars for me.
Yeah.
In all honesty, it seems like I'm stretching, which, yeah, okay. Joe Dumars brings a little bit of nastiness. I can switch him out if I want the Big O to play shooting guard. Switch him and Robertson around. I'll go Joe Dumars. I think he gives me a little bit of depth at the guard position.
All right. So my team ended up, I got 80s Magic running the point. I got 90s MJ at my shooting guard. I got 70s Dr. J at my small forward. I got 2000s Tim Duncan at the power forward, and I got Bill Russell at center.
That's pretty.
Yeah, I'll take my chances.
I have my starting center is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. My starting power forward is Karl Malone. LeBron James at the small forward. Shooting guard is Joe Dumars. And my point guard is Oscar Robertson. Who coaches your team?
Who coaches my team? It's got to be Phil. Phil is the best. Phil's probably the best at managing big egos of all time. So I got a lot of that on my, well, I got a little bit of that on my team between my three backcourt guys. So, yeah,
okay.
I'm going to go those three.
I'm going to go with Red.
Red, yeah.
Have to. I mean.
Those are the only two guys you could choose.
Really.
I'd be happy with the second pick on there.
Yeah, exactly.
Really, yeah.
Lenny Wilkins, all-time winningest coach, I want to say.
Yep, sure.
But he coached a lot of teams. Yeah. He didn't really coach one team to, you know, greatness or anything like that. So
it's a fun exercise, and you can do it with different
sports.
Different sports. I mean, baseball's got a long enough history that you could do it with back.
That would be
not for the podcast, but I'm talking. This is the take home version.
Oh yeah, the take home version. If you a drinking game, if you will. But it's so that would be tough because I thought of baseball, but that would be half an hour because we'd be going through the 1920s all the way to now, and then you'd have to pick
like
each position.
Not a podcast, but this is...
The basketball one is good enough because it's 5 and 5. Mm-hmm. And the 60s is about where you start to notice some really good players. You go back to the 50s and
you're getting into the...
You're getting way too tough.
Yeah,
I don't think anybody
George
would...
George Mikan and those kind of guys.
That's the only guy I could think of. So, good. I'm glad that we were able...
I'm glad we were able to get some basketball into the show. I love basketball.
Oh, I know you do. It's a great show. I'm glad, again, thank you to Troy Gergen, the Associate Athletic Director from NDSU, for getting on with us right away and talking ESPN College game day.
And I think we got some good stuff out of it.
Oh, I really do too.
Did.
And so we'll be there, I think. I know you will be. You'll probably actually stay in the office the night before.
Yeah.
Just to be close to campus.
I might just not leave. I might just...
I'm probably going to have to work at some point on that Saturday, but I'm going to make it up there and just to see what I can do. Maybe I can talk to Sam Ponder. That's really what I'm hoping for. But
what does it say about us that I would be more excited to talk to Scott Van Pelt? Is that bad?
A lot. It says
is that bad?
It does.
That's bad.
It does.
Okay.
Yeah, it says a lot about you. Hmm. I don't know if any of it is good, so... Thank you, guys, again, for everybody who listened to tune into this. Again, you can find us on KFGO.com, 740thefan.com. You can follow Brad Jones, White Shadow, on Twitter at...
The Bison Guy.
You can follow me at PintoKFGO. Remember, we're on iTunes as well, so you can download us from there. You can email us, pinto.whiteshadow@gmail.com, or on the comment section on our web podcast page. Or just shoot us some hate mail or some maybe good critique, bad critique, I don't know, on Facebook. So for Brad Jones, I'm Daniel Pinto Gunnarsson. Thank you so much for listening and have a wonderful rest of your day.